Welcome back to Insight. I'm your host and MC today, Randall White. We have one more round of laughs for you today, courtesy of the Sacramento Stand-Up Competition. It's a weekend-long event where comics from Sacramento, Los Angeles, the Bay Area, and beyond get on stage, and it's happening this weekend, July 25th through the 27th. Last week, I sat down with comedian Melissa McGillicuddy and Sacramento Comedy Spot founder Brian Krall.
We just didn't have enough people to come to the festival at first, so we had them as the same event. The festival became huge, and it was just not manageable. And it was stressful because you're dealing with so many people from out of town. We just broke it up into two things, and then now they just operate independently.
So what makes it unique? How is this different?
All right. First of all, I really don't like doing competitions. It is hard to do a competition of something that is an art form, and it's something that is subjective. You don't think of Sacramento as a comedy town. You think of New York or L.A. or Chicago. We wanted to start bringing people to Sacramento. So one of the ways to do that is to have a competition. But I wanted to make sure it was a competition that really took care of performers. And so there's a lot of competitions out there that go for months. There's a particular competition that you go to one city and perform, and then you have to get travel to another city and perform, and then you go to another city and perform, and then finally you end up winning this thing. What we wanted to do is have it be a weekend. You come into town, we try to set people up with food. We try to find other comedians in our community that you can stay with if you're coming from out of town. We're giving everybody this year $1,000 excuse me.
Whoa,
hold on.
Wait a second.
Let me back that up.
I didn't know about that.
We're giving everybody a $100 travel stipend. It's not much, but we want to be able to say, like, we appreciate you making arrangements to be here. Here's some money to at least get some food and get some drinks or something like that. So we really try to take care of people. We only invite 24 people. We could invite 90. You know, we're inviting 24. The odds of you making it and getting the grand prize are 1 out of 24, which is a lot better than 1 out of 100, you know. So we really try to take care of our talent. That's our number one thing. We want them to have a great experience in a town that is turning into a comedy town.
Well, let's talk about the audience a little bit. Melissa, how is the audience involved in this whole process? How do they track what's happening over the weekend?
I think the audience is there mostly just to see a great show and a great weekend. The way the judging works is that one of the criteria is audience reaction. Mm-hmm. So the judges are looking at how is the audience reacting to that.
You don't have like one of those applause meters, right?
No, it's just sort of taking it in, you know, how is the audience responding to the humor? That's sort of one element of it, which I think I appreciate that, because there are some competitions where the audience has a say or a vote. And I think sometimes that just comes down to who brought the most people.
I
appreciate that the judges are looking at the audience as far as how they're reacting, but it's not really up to the audience to pick a winner.
We've spent a lot of time, too, coming up with a rubric so that all four of our judges know what criteria they're judging on. There's a rubric so they all kind of have an idea of where they're supposed to be scoring people. But even then, we take all four judges' scores, and then we add them all together and we average it out. And so it really is, we try to make this the most fairest competition that comedians can participate in. It's not just, I know 50 people, I'm going to stack the audience, and then I'm going to win this competition.
Do the comedians know the same rubric? Like, do they know, oh, I really need to hit on this?
We tell them what they're scoring on. It's stage presence, it's originality, and then audience reaction.
Originality.
Yeah.
So you don't get up there and say how bad your flight was here.
It.
That's a great point, because I think if you isolated that criteria, you could have someone who came out and did a bunch of hack jokes and the audience loves it, you know? So that could happen. So if you sort of weave in more of those elements, it makes it a little bit more fair. It's like, yeah, well, we're also looking at not just the audience reaction, but was this like a unique original premise?
Right.
And how did you, you know, present yourself on stage? I think those are sort of really three important factors to take in as a whole.
Let's listen to some people who nailed it in past years. Mm-hmm. They've figured out how to master the different elements of the rubric. Let's start with Khairy Shabazz. We should mention he recently performed on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and he's homegrown to some degree, Sacramento Bay Area.
Yeah.
Now is in L.A. Let's listen to this clip.
My old job, all the white coworkers were sitting together in one group during lunch. and all of us minorities sat together in a group, and the manager was afraid that there was some racial tension and had to explain to her, like, no, those white dudes are just talking about stuff we don't want to talk about. Like hops and IPAs. Podcasts. Movies J.J. Abrams directed. Like, who is J.J. Abrams? You know? And us minorities, we were talking about things they weren't interested in, like freedom and equality. Like, they didn't want to.
That's the second or third time I've heard that now, and it makes me laugh each time.
I know.
The podcast one, of course, gets me working in public radio.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What was it about Kyrie that really showed he was successful the year that he won, which was 2016?
2016. I think that clip is a really good example of what Kyrie is fantastic at. Like, he has a joke that is layered with social commentary, right? But it's hilarious. I mean, yeah. It's just a great crafted joke.
Because at first you're like, uh-oh, racial tension. What are we going to be talking about here?
Right,
you
right.
Know? And part of comedy is to make you uncomfortable, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, if you're playing it safe all the time, it just doesn't have the impact, right? But he's able to craft a joke that does make you maybe a little bit nervous, mm-hmm. like, how's this thing going to go down? But then it pays off, and it's so smart. He is making a comment, but at the same time, it's rolled up in a joke about podcasts, you know, and IPAs and things like that.
Melissa, yeah. What did you like about it?
Oh, yeah, I love Kyrie, and I just love seeing him, you know, even now when he comes through town, it's always great to see him. And, yeah, I definitely think he has the ability to take potentially serious, controversial topics and sort of make them a little bit more lighthearted. Mm-hmm. So if you are more in that political sort of realm, you'll appreciate the joke. And if you're not, you'll also get it. So he's really appealing to sort of both worlds there. And so I think that's what makes him a special comedian in that aspect, you know?
Yeah, all in one joke, you know?
Yeah. All in one joke.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Let's listen to a clip from Saul Trujillo. He was the winner last year.
There was one evening where I was not drinking and driving, and I got pulled over by the CHP, and I was sober, and he tried to give me a sobriety test, and I no. I'm sober as shit, but I'm not doing your sobriety test, officer. No, I'm not going to do it. Bring out the breathalyzer. I'll wait. Because it's like, guys, lift your leg 6 inches off the ground. Walking a straight line from heel to heel. I'm not trying to be a Navy SEAL, okay? You try to put me through boot camp. I start doing this, and all of a sudden he's gonna want me to start doing burpees. I don't know how to do burpees. Burpees don't even sound like an exercise to me. It sounds like tiny baby burps that are adorable. But that's not what those are.
So there is some physical humor there that we can't see, I'm sure, and that's part of it, right?
Yeah. Saul's a big guy. He's sturdy.
Yeah.
And so when he starts talking about, you know, am I gonna be a Navy SEAL, you know, I think it's just a great joke. It's so funny.
And the burpees crack me up, too. Yeah. I've always found that exercise name.
Yeah.
With inherent humor.
Right, yeah.
I think it's just a really relatable thing, too, because I was immediately thinking of hearing about other people who have been asked to recite the alphabet backwards. And I'm like, I can't do that
sober.
You know, I'm like, okay, Z.
Yeah.
We can all start
how
there.
How many letters
right?
Yeah. Do you need?
Yeah.
So I'm good on Z. But it's a crazy thing that I've heard that's something that police officers, if you get pulled
right.
over, that's a sobriety test.
And I would have to go all the way up the alphabet.
Me too. I just have to keep, I'm like, what's my, do I get 5 to 10 seconds between every letter? Because I'm just A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I. Okay. Why?
You might as well just arrest me. And be like, oh, I'm good. Yeah, let's just do this.
So yeah, some of those things they make you do are crazy.
We should mention the people we're listening to right now are the headliners for this year's event.
Yeah, they're coming back and performing. So Saul will be headlining the finals. That's on Saturday. And then Kyrie is going to be headlining the showcase, which is at 7 o'clock. It's the earlier show right before the finals.
And then the winner from 2017 is Krista Fotka.
Krista Fotka, yeah.
And let's hear a clip from her.
Damn, I got a Fitbit. Yeah, I got it off of a dead body, but she looked amazing. She was in really good shape. So I feel like my life is headed in a really positive direction. You familiar with the technology? Hey, living that Fitbit life, yes. I don't know if you guys know, you're more of an iWatch crowd. Okay, I'm falling out of control. No, it's, if you're not familiar, it looks like a watch, feels like a low self-esteem timer. Just every hour or so kind of rattles you like, hey, notice you haven't been moving around a whole lot. Might want to get to stepping.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Krista, I don't fangirl for very many comedians, especially like we're sort of in the same scene, but man, right. Every time I see her, it's like very much a celebrity moment. I'm like, hey, Krista, good to see you.
Remember me?
Yeah. Hey.
She's so good.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Yeah,
she's one of my favorite comedians.
For sure. Yeah. And I've heard that bit so many times, but I just laughed right now like I hadn't ever heard it. You know, it's just great.
So the first two we played were men. The third one there, a woman. Melissa, what's the difference? Is there a difference between male and female comedy?
I guess maybe feels to me that sometimes female comedians, you know, women relate to female comedians and men relate to male comedians, I think. Just the perspective, you know?
And the trick is to include everybody? If you can?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true. I guess the trick would be to get everybody to laugh. I don't know if you have to include them to make them laugh, right?
That's really interesting. Yeah, I mean, one of my other favorite comedians is Rhea Butcher.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's really interested in making sure that everybody's on board with her.
Yeah.
But she wants everybody to laugh,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so at the end of the day, you might not believe in her politics, but she's, you know, she's gonna make you laugh. That's her that's her goal, you know?
Right.
Do you think about that when you're putting together lineups of comedians?
Yeah. One of the things I've always tried to do, and it's what the Comedy Spot is all about. I mean, at its core, we are interested in making sure that we have a diverse lineup across the board. We're always very aware of making sure that we're empowering people to get on stage. And historically, comedy has been a place for white guys with beards.
Coming from a white guy with a beard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm definitely saying that I'm one of the white guys with beards, you know? And I think giving people a space to be able to perform and learn and thrive is what we've been about at the Comedy Spot since 2005. So when you come to the Comedy Spot, we want you to see yourself represented on our stage. And that's what we've always been about. So yeah, we're very aware of the sets that we're putting together and making sure that a lot of people are represented on stage.
Earlier in the hour, we heard from two different comedians and I asked them, when did you know you were funny? And Melissa, I want to pose that question to you. At what point did you know you were funny?
I think I'm still waiting to figure that.
I think a lot of people might disagree with you.
So. No, but yeah, sorry, that was just a hack joke that I thought I would throw out to get a couple cheap laughs. I think really early on as a kid, comedy was a big part of growing up. My mom and I watched a lot of stuff like In Living Color and Saturday Night Live. And I was thinking about, my mom had her own business for a while. And I remember as a little kid getting behind, like hiding behind the couch and doing impressions of her clients. And so, you know, she couldn't see me, but it was like, who's this? You know,
right.
and I would act out or, you know, voice out who her different clients were and just doing silly stuff like that. I remember doing a lot of impressions when I was a kid and then realizing as I went, you know, got older in high school and stuff, that comedy was a way for me to be able to get people to talk to me or connect with people because I wasn't, believe it or not, I wasn't one of the cool popular kids. So
it's an attention tool.
Yeah. I mean, just humor was a way that I was able to function in awkward anxiety-like situations because I have a lot of that. So.
And you were good at it. And then at what point did you think, hey, I'm actually so good at it, I could be professional?
Probably, God, that's a good question. I don't know. Just on my way over here.
I'm going to be on the radio. I think I should do this.
I think, honestly, very early this year, I started getting serious about comedy. I think before that, it had always been a hobby. And in the back of my mind, I always thought, it's not really anything I could ever make a career out of. And I've changed that mindset and decided that, yeah, I would like to pursue it as a full-time thing. So
when I interviewed you last time, you were just a hobbyist?
No, I was. No, that was still, no.
That was right around that time.
It was like late February, early March. So I think we talked at the end of March. Ooh. So yeah, it was right around that time where I had, you know, it felt like coming out of the closet a second time. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a comedian.
You don't have to tell my parents. That's classic.
Brian, how about you? Was there a moment where you're like, yeah, you know what? I think comedy is going to be my thing.
Yeah, that's the thing is I never thought in a million years that I would be in charge of a comedy club. I never thought I'd be on stage or anything like that. I was very sure that I would be president. And then later on, I thought I was going to be a lawyer for sure. And then later on, it was just a serious actor. But I started taking acting classes here at Sac State, as a matter of fact. And I did a play that was a comedy, and I was like, hey, man, I'm pretty okay at this thing, you know? And I don't think I ever thought I was going to be a comedian still. It took years. In fact, when I first started doing comedy, I just called myself an actor. And then it took a long time to say, like, oh, no, I'm a comedian. That's all I do. I don't know. Am I funny? Is that?
Oh, yes.
Am I okay?
Yeah.
All right. God, that's all. That's it. Right now.
I love you're like oh, I did a play and I was pretty okay at it. Yeah. Imagine like that's the bar.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey. You know you think that's what Trump said? I'm pretty okay at this president thing.
Are you making an analogy between his presidency and my comedy?
No, not at all.
I put together sentences that make sense.
True, you do. You
yeah,
do.
Thank you.
When you said president. Though you did you mean like president of the United States?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to be
I feel
president.
Like no one ever really actually wants to be.
Oh,
that.
I wanted to be president
yeah.
for sure.
Wow.
And then yeah, and then it was a lawyer. It kept coming down yeah. from there. And there was a lawyer, and then an astronaut, and then a.
I like how astronaut's lower than lawyer in your book.
That's a really good point.
Wow. Well, yeah. I should
yeah.
flip those,
you were like, yeah. I wanted to be a baker, and then an astronaut.
At what point do you must remember that first time that you sensed the audience, you know, in the middle of a belly roll, like they were just you had them.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It took a long time to like really appreciate that. I think when you first start off doing comedy, you're just lucky you get up there and you get to the end of the thing. You know, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I did it. I made it 5 minutes and I didn't die. My improv students, too, they feel that way for a long time. And then all of a sudden, I think there's just one day where you get a huge laugh and then you leave the stage and you're like, well, I'm doing things. Like, this is it. This is where I want to be. And then you're forever chasing that high of getting off the stage and then, like, knowing that you crushed it.
And then the next time you bomb.
And then you bomb.
You're like, is this right?
I guess
the highs are really high and the lows
yeah.
are really
low. There's no, like, method to it either. There's
you never know.
No.
It could be. You had a bad day. It could be the audience. It could be. I try not to blame them, but
no.
It could be anything.
Sometimes it can be them, though.
Yeah. You have to do conventions, and you look at the convention, and you're like, oh, how am I going to make these people laugh?
Yeah, yeah. I always equate it to sports. I'm not much of I know I look like I should know a lot about sports, but I'm not really a sporty. I was like, can I say this word? Never mind. I'm not very sporty. If you think about like an NBA player, right? They don't go out one day, and they're not a good at bat. Then they're like, I'm not good at basketball today. I mean, you're always sort of getting better as an athlete, you
yeah,
know?
Right.
It's not like, oh, I don't know how to throw a basketball
until you're
today.
Not.
But
there
with
are
comedy,
real times, yeah.
With comedy, there can be some growth, but there's so many variables that you can. I've gone out and done one night, I've done a set, it's just gotten the best laughs. The next night, I have done the exact same set verbatim and just crickets. You know, so there's really no rhyme or reason to it, which is also kind of one of the really fun things about it is it is always challenging you. And
it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
With improv, too, like there are just some nights where I'll be driving home and I'll say like, oh, I should have said that. I should have done this. Mm-hmm. You know, we always joke that you go home sometimes just crying in your car. You're like, what am I doing with my life? But I mean, I think the more you do this. And I think any comedian will tell you the same thing. That you start off failing more than you're successful. And then over time, it's about 50-50. And then over time, you are successful more than failing. But you never are always good. You're always going to have a night where you don't do well. And I think those are great because those are the opportunities to learn why. You know, like, what did I do tonight that maybe didn't get over? And what can I do next time to be even better?
Yeah.
And you just really hope that's not on the Tonight Show, right?
Right, whatever
it might be.
No, failing, I think, in just not even in comedy, but I think in all aspects of life, like, you have to do that.
Gotta embrace
in
it.
Order to be successful. You have to learn from those moments to, you know, it's not easy. No one likes it. You know, it's very cringy. But if you're not failing, I feel like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Brian, you mentioned earlier there are 24 people that will be competing, and we have some clips from some of those people. Let's go through the list and listen to some more comedy.
That's great.
Starting with Jessica Wellington. She's out of Los Angeles.
This is really cool. So Jessica, a long time ago, worked at the Comedy Spot. She moved to L.A. She's been down there for I don't even know how many years, a long time now. And she is the first woman door person at the Comedy Store, which is a big deal because yeah. you're not just working the door, you're being mentored by comedians. You get stage time. I was just really excited that somebody from our community has, you know, gone down there and done really well. And then she applied this year for the competition, which is great. I mean, she has gotten better and better and better every year. And this is a person that never thought she would be doing comedy. And now she does podcast called Liars Club with some of the best comedians in the business. So
yeah.
it's going to be fun to have
She's
her in
great.
Town.
We had her at, she was on FemFest too
this year.
And yeah, it was just so great to see her because right when she was leaving for LA, I was sort of coming into the scene. So I didn't get to see her a lot, but it was just so cool to go, wow, look at all that she's done in that time. So yeah. it was very, very impressive.
Cool. Let's hear the clip.
You guys, I'm fat. Let's just go ahead and... I know it. You know, I'm fat. I was actually in the Air Force. I wasn't always fat.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's just hard for me because, like, my idea of a diet is just eating the curliest of the fries. You know? And I find that, like, I eat my emotions, you know? I think a lot of us do. I eat my emotions, and I have a lot of hate inside. A lot. And I find that, like, steak and potatoes, and chocolate and ice cream, they feel that hate really nicely. You know? Yeah. And then, you guys, I thought about it. The word hate is just ate with a fork. Right?
So, can a play on how do play on words work well?
They can.
I think
when it's good.
That is a pretty good joke.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that coming. I think it's just a really good crafted joke.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's listen to a Sacramento local, Emma Haney.
Yeah, Emma's been in the scene for a while. I don't think she's ever been in the competition before, has she?
I don't think so. I don't think she particularly likes
competitions.
Which I get. They're, yeah. You know,
it's very stressful.
But uh-huh. yeah, she's definitely one of my favorite Sacramento comedians. So I'm so glad that she decided to be a part of it this year.
I think that's what's fun, too, about the competition is we do have some local talent that get into the competition. But we're putting them in the competition because they've earned a place in the competition. You know, we're not putting them in there because they're just locals. So it's really exciting. You get to be around people from all over the country. And at the same time, you're almost like representing Sacramento.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, we do have, I mean, not, just no brag, just fact. I mean, we do have a great comedy scene here. I mean, yeah. if you look at the last 3 years of the stand-up NBC competition, those have all been Sacramento comics that
yeah.
won that.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Kyrie, JR.
And Mikey Winfield.
Mikey Winfield. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Which is great.
I got divorced because I just came out this past year. You guys are way more supportive than my husband was. That's great. He's just like, what? I'm like, I wear jean on jean. I don't know what to tell you. You should have seen it coming. It was such a weird thing, though, because my husband and I, we were together from when I was 19 until I was 27 years old. Right? That's a long time. And, like, having to, like, come out to someone after all, it's like, I was, like, super nervous and I didn't know what to do. And I remember we were just eating dinner one night. And he was just like, oh, hey, babe, how's it going? Like, how was your day? And I got super nervous. I was just like, I like goodbye. And I just flew away in a Subaru that appeared outside my house. So I had a Home Depot gift card in the front seat. I'm like, oh.
All right, that was Emma Haney. There's many more that we just don't have time to get to right now, but I want to wish all of them the best of luck coming up. And Brian Krall founder, manager, Sacramento Comedy Spot, also the guy who came up with this whole competition. Thanks for being here today.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And also the stand-up program director at the Comedy Spot, Melissa McGillicuddy. Really fun to interview you
again.
Yeah,
thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It feels like a workout after talking to you guys. Like I don't have to do my sit-ups.
Oh, good. No burpees.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm not doing mine either. Right? Yeah, I wasn't going to, not going to.
That's Brian Krall with the Comedy Spot and Melissa McGillicuddy speaking with me about the Sacramento stand-up competition. The festivities start tonight at the Sacramento Comedy Spot in Midtown, and it runs through Saturday, July 27th.
That's it for the comedy show on Insight today. It's been an honor to be your host and MC. My name is Randall White. Insight is produced by Kate Gonzalez and Cody Drabble. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. We get help from Antonio Munez, Nick Bruner, and Helen Barrington. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Don't forget to tip your waitstaff, and thanks for joining us.